Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
And welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler. Very excited to be joined by my spectacular guest, 95.7 The Game's John Dickinson. We are coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the 49ers have now lost their second straight game. Last year, they lost in week 6 and 7, too, guys. So, you know, take a breath. But they've lost their second straight game to a less superior team. So, John, let's talk about it. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tracy. Really appreciate it. And yeah, something about October 23rd that doesn't sit well for the 49ers. Go back to last year, got blown out by the Chiefs after they had been beaten by Atlanta. And this year, as you laid out, it's Cleveland and Minnesota. And at least for the short term, the vibes of the 5-0 and the blowout win against the Cowboys have subsided. This team's dealing with some stuff defensively. Brock Purdy having to play some closer games, some games where there's a little more adversity team-wide, and he hasn't come up as big as he had in some of the other games. And the 49ers are really, I think, searching and clutching toward trying to get to the bye week now. Yes. I thought, you know, Kyle Shanahan in the post-game press conference addressing the fact that he addressed the team short week, kind of, it seemed to me as if it was, all right, guys, let's just hold it together for the next 6 days, and then this team can get a break and a reset and get on to the second half of the season. But they're up against it right now. They're fighting some stuff for the first time this season.
The last of the major pro sports leagues kicks off this week, and BetOnline is your top spot for all your NBA action this season. With MLB postseason, NFL and college football, and NHL in full swing, BetOnline is your number one source for wagering news, odds, trends, and predictions. Get everything NBA at your fingertips with both desktop and mobile access for every sport, anytime. Head to BetOnline today to get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And Talanoa Hufanga said something interesting after the press conference, basically the same thing Shanahan said, but the way that Hufanga put it was, we need to focus on this season, and this season's before the bye. So we need to get into the bye 6-2 and not 5-3. And the 6-2 and 5-3 thing is something that Shanahan also said to us in the post-game press conference. So that clearly is what he said, you know, probably verbatim to the team, but it does create a bit of pressure, and it doesn't exactly get easier because here come the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, and they have not played up to the standard they've been playing at the last couple of years thus far this season. But as we've seen the last couple of weeks, it doesn't really mean anything, and the vibes certainly are not high. I would say they seemed kind of the most mad that I've seen them seem in a while about this particular game. But they are searching. Something that came up specifically in the post game was on that very strange touchdown that essentially ended the half. And I could make the argument, and kind of did in my game story, that they never really recovered from it. But from that touchdown that ended the half, where, you know, they called the all-out blitz, and then it looked like Charvarius Ward had his second interception of the day. Instead, Jordan Addison was like, give me the ball back, and then basically walked right into the end zone untouched. And, you know, Kyle Shanahan said they're going to have to look at that play call this week, which I kind of thought was an interesting and very transparent thing for him to say.
He was, I thought, visibly annoyed when asked about, you know, do you like that call in that situation? To me, and Kyle is usually pretty good at keeping himself composed and not letting on that he's upset about something or has to make a point to a player or in this case to another assistant coach in Steve Wilks. But I think either in the moment he lost his cool a little bit, or he was so mad about it he didn't care.
Right.
And basically was like, I don't care if everybody knows that I wasn't on board with that call. It's changing. And so look, I don't think it's any kind of an untenable situation or anything like that. I mean, the 49ers defense was, you know, playing exceptional football up until 2 weeks ago, you know, through the Cowboys game. And so they got hit a little bit in the running game early. They got hit in the running game by the Browns last week. But the one thing that I've noticed with this team, and it's funny, it didn't really play out the first five games, but I go back to training camp, and one of my key questions was, Steve Wilks likes to blitz. Mm-hmm. He's used to blitzing a lot as a defensive coordinator. He's been very successful with it. The 49ers have not blitzed a lot defensively. They've been, our four-man rush is going to get home, and we're going to dominate the line of scrimmage that way. And so it's almost been two things coming together, I think, to lead toward the blitzing. And I think it culminated in that play tonight before halftime. The 49ers are not getting pressure with the four-man front. And they're Nick Bosa is missing opportunities. And they're just, as this season has gone on, you know, the sacks have not been there. And so I think it was twofold. It's Wilks likes to blitz. What the 49ers are used to doing isn't working, so he's dialing it up. And I thought tonight they really, against the Vikings, got burned multiple times. That was the most glaring one. Mm-hmm. The other was the screen pass that went for a big gain as well. And so I think as they adjust to bring it back to Kyle and the annoyance that he showed, Tracy, is there's going to be a conversation about it this week between Kyle and between Steve Wilks. And I think Kyle's going to say, don't do that in that situation. Yeah. It reminded me of remember the Rams game when they were playing Tampa, they had the huge lead, they blew the lead. And then this was, I think, the year the Rams won the Super Bowl. And then the Buccaneers ran an all out blitz and Stafford hit, I think it was Cooper Kupp, for a massive game that put him in field goal range. And they ended up winning the game on the last play. And it reminded me of that. It's like, and it was for all anybody talked about in the NFL for the whole week was, how could you do that? How could you run a zero? How could you, you know, leave the game up to a one-on-one with the, you know, a playoff game on the line? And I think, you know, Shanahan likes, he likes violence and physicality, but he doesn't necessarily like a lot of risk-taking unless it's his offense taking the risks. And so I think he's going to try to dial it back. And I think they have to get on the same page as a defense with what Wilks likes to do, what has been successful in the past, what isn't as successful now, and try to figure out how to find a balance.
And Nick Bosa felt like alluded to it a little bit as well. He talked about missed opportunities and he put them on himself, but he did make some comments about how it's different. You know, he made a couple comments about it as well. So they are going to kind of have to figure that out. And it's so interesting though in the NFL, because had Charvarius Ward come up with the interception, which it's like almost a very fluke play that he didn't, we're not having this conversation. And it was a great play call. And that's the thing that I think is interesting too. And that's something it's about. And that's, you know, there's always the cliche, it's a game of inches, but it is. I mean, that changes everything. Just like last week in Cleveland, Jake Moody hits the game-winning field goal. they still played poorly, but the vibe is very different. And, well, you know.
No doubt. And just, I mean, you talk about Bosa, but Christian McCaffrey he was really hard on himself for the fumble early. And that was, I mean, that's another one of those plays where he looks up at the end of the game, lose by 5. 49ers are at the 12-yard line then, about to go ahead. The Vikings end up scoring a touchdown. The Niners never had a lead in the game at all off of that. So I thought those were the two plays tonight. It was the McCaffrey fumble early and then the play right before halftime where the Vikings scored the touchdown. And even the Moody missed field goal, I thought tonight, if he makes the 40, 39-yarder, maybe they're going down at the end and they only need a field goal to win and they have an opportunity to get in range.
Yeah, there's that one too, for sure. You know, the Christian McCaffrey one, I agree with you. That was a huge play. I put in my story that, yes, it was a huge play, but he also scored 2 touchdowns. Out of their 17 points, he scored 14 of them. So
Like always.
So numbers. I feel like, yes, it was a bad play. But I think the thing is, and this is kind of something Fred Warner alluded to after the game, when those things happen, they've got to figure out how to get over them. And I think that's the thing that's getting them over these last couple weeks, especially tonight. Like, those are two big plays, but those are also two plays that happen in the first half. And they've got to figure out, if they want to go where they want to go, how to recover from those plays.
They do. And I thought Fred Warner, he called the team out almost as being a little bit like they're a little bit of front runners this year's version.
I want to see our mental toughness go up, which I thought was a pretty strong statement from him. Because one of the things this team has talked about a lot over like last year when they went on the win streak and this year, how mentally tough they are. And they all talk about how great they are practice and how locked in they are. So when he said that, and said, I think I want to see us win these grimy games. I agree with you. He really did call everybody out, because this kind of stuff's going to happen. And this is the difference between the teams that win in the NFC Championship game and win the Super Bowl and the teams that do not.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, because I think the 49ers in some ways have become when they're on, it's pretty. And and I think whereas you go back the last couple of years, and they've struggled at the beginning of the year. I do think that is a point of perspective, as a lot of the fan base is thinking, hey, the sky is falling. What's going on? Right. Everything's wrong. I mean, this is a 5-2 team that was 3-4 after 7 games in each of the last 2 years, and 3-5 2 years ago before they got it together and ended up winning down the stretch. But even then, those iterations of the 49ers, while they weren't as pretty, the way that they got it done when they were playing well, they did win the grimy games a lot. Like, they would win games like tonight, go down like last week, kick the field goal at the end, completely different conversation at the, and that to me builds momentum for the next week. Like, if the 49ers win that game in Cleveland last week, I almost feel like they win the game tonight. Like, they come at tonight's game from a better place, because they would have addressed some things that didn't go well and been more focused to keep that momentum going. So I do think in a season, there are little mini momentum stretches, both good and bad. And the Niners right now are finding themselves in one of the bad ones.
And the thing that's also been interesting about this team, it's like starting fast was such a point of emphasis. You know, we have to start fast, and they've started fast. They are certainly in better shape than they were at 3-4 and 3-5. Now they're 5-2. But it's almost as if like they do better. They need some adversity. I don't know how to describe it. You know, I think there was something to those 3-4, and I'm not saying that they should have started 3-4, 3-5 or anything. That's not what I'm saying. But there was something to it that kind of built a mental toughness. And it's almost like they came out so fast and like looked like the greatest, could be one of the greatest teams ever. And then they've gone through these tough 2 games, and you do have to deal with it. I actually would make the argument, and I did last week, and I will say it again this week, I don't think these games are bad for them, because like Fred Warner said, they got to win the grimy ones and they've got to figure out how to do it. And maybe it fuels them. I don't know. I just think this is the kind of stuff you'd rather they learn it in week 6 and 7, which they did last year. Week 6 and 7 were not great. And this is where they learn it. And I think, you know, with the field goal stuff, you know, Moody ends up making the 55 yarder today, which I think was extremely important for his confidence level because it was three missed field goals. And part of that, you know, I think that is a little bit the growing pains of a rookie kicker. They decide not to sign Robbie Gold, and I get it. And I think we all know how I feel about Jake Moody. So no complaint, you know, not going to second guess that here, at least not tonight. But, you know, that's part of it with a rookie kicker. And I think part of it too, and last week he should have made that kick. He should have made the 40-yard kick tonight. Absolutely. He should have made the 41-yard kick last week. But when you know you have a rookie kicker that's probably going to be a little bit up and down just because the nature of the position in the NFL, then you do have to be on top of the other stuff. It's a team sport. And I think there's a lot of places where blame goes around.
No question. And the other part, though, too, is I think, and this is where you saw the frustration from the 49ers team tonight, is that one game like that is cool. And I think accepted it. Tonight was the second one. And while I agree with you that there is a benefit in it for the second half of the year, and heck, last year it was 3-4 and they lost week 6 and week 7, and that was it. They didn't lose again until January.
Right.
So it you know, worked out to their benefit as they got rolling down the stretch last season. But I think where you saw the frustration was now it's two losses, and now you look up in the standings and you're behind Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And Detroit is right there with you, even though Detroit, you know, got handled by the Ravens yesterday. And now you're right back with Dallas and Seattle. Seattle's 4-2. Dallas is 4-2. And so you find yourself in a battle for the division that I don't think the 49ers thought that they were necessarily going to be in, at least at this juncture.
Right.
With a couple of late season meetings, what they play Thanksgiving, I think Seattle, and then they play in December. So those are late games between those two teams. And if Seattle can hang around to make those games really matter, I think that's something. I don't know about you. I thought the Niners, and maybe they still do, but and this is no disrespect to Seattle. I do think Seattle's a wild card type team like they were last year, a better version maybe of that team. But I really felt the 49ers were going to win the division without much drama.
I did too. I 100% thought they were going to win the division without much drama. And they certainly, I thought that going into the season. I certainly thought it after the first 5 games of the season. You know, that Thursday night Thanksgiving game could all of a sudden have the meaning that the Thursday night December game had last year. And I think the season, there's going to be more drama now. Now, perspective wise, they are 5-2. There are a lot more games left to play for everybody. So many things can happen for so many different teams, but they have now put themselves in a position where Fred Warner called Sunday a must-win game. And I don't know that it's a must-win game. There was a game 7 for the ALCS tonight that was a must-win game, but this is a pretty important game. They do not want to go into the bye week at 5-3, and more important than 5-3, on a 3-game losing streak, and they can't get frustrated. And it's interesting. The thing with the frustration is you need to fuel it the right way. And this is very easy for us to say because we don't have to play on Sunday, but you have to fuel it the right way. And what you can't let it do is let it make you angry. And now you're playing bad sloppy football and making bad penalties, you know, and that kind of stuff, and doing the dumb stuff that loses you football games.
And that's a tough game. Short week, and not only short week, but the Bengals they didn't play yesterday. Right. They're coming off their bye. And, you know, the Browns had a little extra in the tank for the 49ers when the Browns were coming off of their bye and faced them in Cleveland last week. So the Bengals had started to figure it out. They were, I think, 1-2 last year. They were 1-3 this year at the beginning. And they end up with their 10, 11, 12 wins by the end of the year. And so they probably feel like they're getting on a roll. The 49ers to me right now, Tracy, feel like it's that last day before your vacation, but you've got a million things you have to do. Uh-huh. And it's like, just get through the day. If we can just get through the day, everything's going to be fine. But you know, this is the NFL. You can't just get through the day and lose. You need to get through the day and try to win. You can't just get through it. But the 49ers feel like a team that needs a break, frankly, right now. But they can't quite get it because they have one more really difficult game in front of them before they before they're able to get that break.
Yeah, I would agree with you. But I think a little bit, I'm going to say something that might be controversial. It's probably not, but it might be. That takes me a little bit back to the mental toughness thing because they've had two bad games. But again, they're 5-2. They've been relatively lucky on injuries. They were without Trent Williams tonight. They were without Deebo Samuel. They've been relatively lucky on injuries. This is a team, of course, they need a break. They're halfway through the season. They're going to have played 8 football games, and that I'm taking nothing away from how difficult that is. But I think a little bit the mental toughness thing that Fred Warner talked about is a thing, and that's something they're going to have to figure out. That, to me, is maybe the little piece. Aside, there's obviously the X's and O's stuff, but that might be the little piece that's kind of off right now.
I also wonder if because they made such a point to get off to a good start this year, and uh-huh. and they came out of the gates flying. And I wonder if they're hitting the wall a little bit based on the fact that they did come out so hard, because they were, and it wasn't just hard. They were hitting teams in the mouth.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh. And I mean, it was just week in, week out. The Rams game was an extremely physical game. For an offensive battle in the first half, you know, they were laying wood against the Giants, and we saw the Cowboys game and the Browns game. I think caught up with them maybe a little bit as well. The Browns were ready. You know, the Browns wanted to fight in that, you know, literally and on the field. I wonder if maybe the 49ers. And look, it's to their credit. They got off to a good start. You'd rather be 5-2 than sleepwalking to 3-4 and having some other things to figure out. So it's a nice problem to have. But I do wonder if maybe they burned out a little quicker because they went so hard at the start. And now they're in this string of games against some other physical opponents. And the injuries are starting to pile up a little bit, which compounds matters. And they, you know, the reset, I think, could do them some good. Not only the break, but also getting healthier and getting some players back. And the trade deadline's going to come. They might get a boost from the trade deadline. The trade deadline's going to come during the bye also.
That's very true. That comes on October 31st. And I'm curious to see what they do, if anything. You know, when I look at where they are and what they need, to me, it almost, you know, I don't know if they continue to try to bolster the line, because there's been talk about the secondary, but I look at the secondary and I don't really think, what are they looking for, someone to replace Lenore? I don't think so. They're not looking for someone to replace Charvarius Ward. Isaiah Oliver's been playing pretty well at nickel. Like, I don't know that it really is the secondary or the corners. Is it the line? Because the better the line, the easier it becomes on the secondary. But I'm curious to see kind of how that all plays out and obviously what they feel they need. But I think that defensive line is obviously something that they've continued to bolster. But they brought Randy Gregory in, but they're not, the line is not as dominant as it should be. And so
pass rusher.
That's what they
need one more pass rusher, I think. Yeah. Like, to me, that's the if you're going to go for a big ticket item at the deadline, I think it's a pass rusher. It's funny. I was on another show earlier tonight, and we were kicking around trade deadline stuff. And I said pass rusher. And then the person said, well, other than pass rusher, it's funny. I said kind of exactly what you did. They don't really need, I went through the secondary. They don't really need this. I said, oh, maybe they could use a corner, but that also could play some safety and maybe play some nickel. And then I realized I'm talking about Jimmy Ward. Like, they could use
Jimmy Ward. They could really use Jimmy Ward. Maybe they could trade and get Jimmy Ward back.
I feel like a hybrid secondary type player. I mean, again, those don't just exist. I mean, he's a unique individual and obviously probably doesn't really want to be with the 49ers anymore, given some of the comments that he made. But and obviously he left.
Right.
But I don't know, maybe some kind of hybrid secondary player if you're looking for a secondary player, but they're just there just aren't a lot of those.
Well, and that's, I was on a show earlier too, and we were having this exact same conversation. I said, like, you know, corners don't grow on trees, like high end corners, you know, don't grow on trees. They could use maybe some depth. You know, I don't think they want to be an injury away from having Ambry Thomas start at corner, but again, those people don't grow on trees. And I think the corners that potentially could be available kind of are almost too much from what they need, if that makes sense. Or yeah, I don't know.
Surtain is probably wow, you'd love to have him, but it's like, I know you like big ticket items, Tracy, but like, that's a big ticket item.
I don't think they do. And I don't know what that does to a chemistry. You know, there's that too. There is that to think about. You've got a chemistry in the secondary. That feels like way too big.
They're making a deal though. I'm going to say right now, bold prediction. They're making a deal.
I'm going pass rusher. I think you're also going pass rusher, but they are definitely making a deal. There is no way that trade deadline passes without some sort of, even if it's not a big, big ticket item, it's going to be an impactful ticket item, if that's the thing.
And just look at, they've had trade deadline success with McCaffrey, with Emmanuel Sanders back in 2019. Mm-hmm. And last year they needed McCaffrey. I thought that trade was risky, but they needed McCaffrey.
Yes,
and he completely changed the game. And then Brock Purdy changed the game even beyond that. But that team needed an infusion last year at this time, and they got it. I feel like this is more, not positionally, but they need an Emmanuel Sanders, veteran, I think, at that pass rusher position, but somebody that's been around, that's won some big games, that's played at the highest level. But maybe it's even on the downturn a little bit. I mean, I liken it to Von Miller going to the Rams a couple of years ago. That kind of a trade, that where a guy is on the downside but still has the ability to help at an extremely high level.
Well, time will tell. You guys, it is 2:40 a.m. in Minneapolis, and John and I have been working a long day, so we are going to sign off. But first, tell everybody where to find you, John.
At JD John Dickinson on Twitter and Threads and Instagram. It's all the same on all your social platforms. There may or may not be a YouTube channel announcement in the near future. I don't want to break that on your show. It's not totally final, but yeah, there's a YouTube channel coming. So I guess I will just break that. Like, there's a YouTube channel coming. It's not quite up and running because things have been pretty busy, but you can also hear me on 95.7 The Game. Most people, I do a lot of Warriors. The Warriors season starting tomorrow.
That's exciting.
I'm going to be on the Warriors pre and post game and still covering the Niners and kind of going back. I love this time of year. It's my favorite time of year. So yeah, catch me at 957thegame.com as well. And it's going to be a lot of fun. I love this time of year where the 49ers are playing and then the Warriors start, and I get to focus on both.
That's super fun. It is a very good time of year. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TracyFGSN, on Instagram and Threads at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. If you like what you heard, and I know that you did, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating and a very positive review. And with that, I'll talk to everybody next time. Bye all.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In 2 clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
How about Cap'n Crunch's Crunch Berries with breakfast?
Whoa, Dad, we're on
Crunch Island. It's John LaFoot.
And he stole our crunch.
Quick, the zip line.
He's getting away.
Throw our last crunch berry.
No!
No one steals my crunch berries.
I think you mean my crunch berries. Choose your own crunch venture with Cap'n Crunch.
From muddy jungle paths to snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder is ready to take you to some of the most phenomenal destinations on Earth. In a Pathfinder, it's more than just the arrival. The real excitement comes from the ride to get there. With 7 drive modes, Pathfinder's available intelligent 4-wheel drive is built for some of the most epic journeys. So chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures in the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. Intelligent 4-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.